Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm thinking of, Matt, have you got a shaved head at the moment?
I haven't, no. I've got lockdown hair. We'll see.
Oh, let's see it. Come on. What? It looks like you had a haircut.
I mean, my wife did trim the sides of my hair.
Is she a professional hairdresser? Because it looks really good.
The first time she did it, we had my hairdresser on Zoom, and he talked her through it. It went really well. It went really fucking well. The second time, we were like, we don't need him on the thing. You know what to do, right? She was like, yeah, you've done it once. Terrible decision. No. It went awfully wrong. And I've got like a 90s step right now. But it was an awful, awful thing to do.
Jamie just went to he paid a hairdresser to give him.
I haven't. You just stop. I haven't done anything. Paid
stop
anyone
spreading
shit.
These awful rumors.
Stop spreading these rumors. What are you talking about?
The police are knocking on my door.
He drove to Durham.
Oh, shut up, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still here with Matt Willis.
Yes,
woo-hoo!
Hi.
Oh, right.
Wait. So, where are you spending your lockdown, Matt?
I'm in my house in Hertfordshire. Yeah, I moved out here about 4 years ago. I moved out of London. I love it. It's nice, chill.
Nice, lots of green space. Where in Hertfordshire?
I'm just by.
What's your address?
I'm just by. Well, do you know, I'm not too far from Elstree Studios.
Oh,
you know, like kind of okay. that way. So I say Hertfordshire because it sounds nice. Just by Watford, really. But
that's like trying to say. I remember I had a friend when I was younger who he used to live in Notting Hill, but if he ever met someone that was slightly edgy, he used to say Shepherd's Bush. So he'd be like, yeah, I don't know. So you're the same, because you think we're posh, you say Hertfordshire, but actually you're going, we're Spotford.
It's kind of Watford, yeah.
I say Ladbroke Grove when I'm trying to, you know, be down with the streets, but then, you know, it's Notting Hill when...
It's like Pimlico and Victoria.
Yeah.
but you have kids, right?
I have three children. Yes, three.
So did you decide to move out of London because of your family and things like that?
Yeah, we kind of. I loved where I live. I lived in Crouch End for about 10 years, and I loved it there, and I really miss it. But we kind of we got to the point where we were thinking about what my eldest would do when she had to go to secondary school, and there was kind of a good few primary schools, but nothing. And so we moved out here because there's a really good school they could go to until they're 18. And it's ran down the road from my house.
Harrow.
Exactly, yeah.
but also, how long ago did you get married? What age were you when you got married?
I was 25 when I got married, so that was 12 years ago.
But that's insane.
It's quite young to get married.
It's young.
Yeah, right? I was young. I got a really attractive girlfriend and was like, I'm going to fucking marry you straight away. Yeah.
That's exactly
before
what
before you realize the terrible mistake you're making. I'm gonna marry you and make you sign up.
Yeah. And then you're suddenly locked in. I always think that moment when you suddenly ask someone to marry you and then you're okay, and then you're suddenly getting married, you're going, oh fuck, this is like forever. But that's sweet and exciting, but it's definitely forever. And I think that's the most intimidating thing about getting
married.
Well,
it's not necessarily forever if you look at the record currently of those things. Like, people seem to be more fast and loose with the idea of staying together forever these days. Wouldn't you say, like, there's a rise in divorces?
Yeah, but I came from a divorced family, so I wouldn't want to have.
No, me too. That's why I think it's such a serious thing to.
Are you basically saying to Matt Willis that, Matt, look, if you want to get a divorce, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's 2020. You can get a divorce whenever you want.
No. I'm not saying that it's okay. I actually disagree with it. I think people should be much more considered about who they. I mean, it sounds like you were, but it's. I think a lot of people aren't. They get married because they think everyone around them is, and they get nervous, and they're like, "Oh, maybe
Francis is now freaking out. Look at me, freaking out." I'm not saying I think you should get a divorce. I'm just saying.
No, I don't want to get into like an hour long, explanation of my position on marriage, but I could if you have the time.
But that is kind of I commend you for that, because like you said, you kind of came. You were in Busted, you were this huge fame, and as you know, you're in your early 20s and people are throwing themselves at you and things like that, and you just decided, no, I found a woman that I love and I'm going to marry and this is what I want to do. And a lot of people, it takes them until 40 years old and suddenly they go, actually, this is the sort of time to settle down and things like that. Because I suppose out of all your friends, you must have been quite young to get married, right?
Yeah, I was the first. I was the first one to get married. I don't know. I always wanted that. Ever since I was a kid,
to be a young dad.
I did. I always
that was your wish.
I always wanted to be married. I always wanted to settle down. I always wanted that kind of relationship. I kind of always really, it didn't seem weird at the age of 25 to do it. It didn't feel like a weird step. It felt natural. It felt natural to do that at that point. Yeah. Plus she was 7 years older than me. So she was 32. So it's kind of like, she
put the pressure on.
She was, her biological clock and all that, was kind of fucking knocking down my door.
Did you come from a family life where you were very much a family and you were together, and so you kind of always wanted to replicate that? Is that what it was?
No, quite the opposite. I came from a divorced family and I kind of never really... I don't want to get too deep and dark about it, but I don't think I ever really had that. I never really had that kind of family unit, that kind of like safe, secure... kind of place, and I always craved it. So as soon as I could, I wanted that for myself,
Well, we're all, I guess, similar in that sense. We're all from divorced families.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. We are. But also, then,
which proves my previous point
about the universe of brothers in arms. I feel you.
That we're all together in this.
They only employ people who are divorced families.
Because, and for all of our listeners, you're married to the very beautiful Emma Willis as well, who is a presenter, and she
smoke show.
Yeah, man. Did well.
Now hitting on Matt Willis's wife after that. So
hey, complimenting his wife. Yeah. Or hitting on his wife.
No, it's true. But also, I want to know this as well. With when Busted did break down, and I know we keep going back to just itchy, that you were still young then as well, and for you to be a musician and things like that, and then your band suddenly breaks down, so then you kind of go, right, I'm going to go on a solo career. Is there a point where you suddenly go, shit, I was in a band, now I'm not, and then you suddenly get to that position where you're like, well, what do I do now? Did that ever happen to you?
Well, I never really intended to be in a band. It wasn't really the idea. I went to drama school and I always wanted to be an actor. And it was kind of like, and the band thing just kind of like happened by accident. Like, we wrote some cool songs. I liked hanging around with James. One thing led to another. Suddenly we're Busted. It wasn't really like, it was like, I didn't have, I didn't dream about being a pop star when I was a kid. It just wasn't what I ever intended to be. So when the band finished, I just was like, right, cool. I'll go back to drama school. I'll kind of go back to being an actor. And suddenly I was like, oh, but I'm in a very different position to any other 21-year-old that I know that's going to university or drama school or whatever, at that time. So it became, my choices were slightly made for me in that way, and it was a very, I suppose, I don't know, because I was, it was me, it was happening to me. So I just kind of dealt with what was happening at the time. But at 21, kind of coming out of the band, there was a moment where I kind of went, oh shit, what the fuck am I going to do now? You know, I still have those moments now.
But Matt, but you did. You went back in time because you were appeared in EastEnders. You were in EastEnders for a bit, wasn't that right? And
yeah.
And lots of other acting things. So you kind of went from you did presenting and all those different stuff. So you kind of have you've always sort of stayed within that.
You've run the gamut of entertainment.
I have. There's still there'll be some sort of dancing show of some capacity in my future. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, not this year. But I mean, it's a given, isn't it? At some point, most probably. You know, I love acting more than anything. Like, if I'm honest, I love it much more than playing music. But it's well, I say that, no, that's not true, actually. Playing shows, like with Busted, is my favorite thing to do in the world. Like, playing a gig, there's nothing that comes close to that. Everything else about being in a band, I can give or take. You know, if I'm honest, like, the rest of the bullshit I have to do, like, I can fucking leave that tomorrow. But the 90 minutes that we're on stage in front of an audience is fucking amazing. Everything else is just a bit meh.
Is it unreal when you play in likes of like the O2 and things like that in front of a crowd? Is there just nothing like it?
There's nothing like it. The thing is that gigs like that are really amazing, but we kind of know in a way they're going to be good because there are crowd and there are people and they come to see our band. They bought a fucking ticket. I should hope that they're excited.
No one's booing you.
Yeah, exactly. I should hope that no one's excited. But those shows that you go on stage and you're a bit unsure about, like there's been a few, like Glastonbury was like that. Like, we played Glastonbury a couple of years ago and I was a fucking nervous wreck. I was like, how is this going to go? We were on the same time as Jeremy Corbyn as well. I was like, fucking hell, what's going to go on? You know, but thank fuck, loads of people turned up and they just shut the field down. It was chaos. It was amazing.
Because event like that, like Glastonbury, like people maybe who haven't seen you or heard your music might go to watch you because they've heard about you and they want to see you. So it's like you're not playing to a crowd that you've already won over, right? Like,
no, you have to do your job. You have to walk on stage and you have to give them. They're not expecting you to be good. Do you know what I mean? It's something like that. Like, especially with my band, I think there comes a preconception about what they're going to experience. You know, and without being a dickhead, we work really fucking hard. Like Busted rehearsed the hell out of our shows and we really work hard at it. You know, I kind of start rehearsal 6 weeks before we walk in the room, you know, so it's kind of, we're very meticulous about the way we sound and the way we come across, and we've kind of formulated a kind of way to kind of do a show which kind of works with us and our music, and kind of we found a way to kind of sit with that, you know. So it's but there's still that element of what's going to happen. How are they going to be received? Like, we played a punk festival called Slam Dunk last year as secret guests.
Oh, I was there.
You were there. You were at Slam Dunk.
Shut up,
bro. No, right. and I was fucking shitting myself because these are the bands that I would get shit for going to see back in the day. You know, were all on the bill. And we were a surprise guest. We came on as, I can't remember what our fucking name was. Loser Kids or something. We kind of came on as a secret name at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on one of the stages as a surprise, but it went fucking off and we were like, it kind of makes you go, shit, we are good at this. Thank you. We're back and we're doing all right, you know.
Daddy's home.
I haven't had one bit of piss thrown at me. Yes.
You know. I love the fact you guys go on stage and you're literally like, hey everyone, we're Busted. No clue if you're going to be received.
No clue. Sort of slightly apologising for being
asked. Yeah, but that's so exhilarating, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's the most amazing feeling. And you know, they're always like that. But it's always one of those things, isn't it? Like, nothing's ever as bad. Nothing's ever as bad as you think it's going to be. Like, you kind of, I build things up in my head. Oh my God, I'm going to get pissed thrown at me. This is going to be terrible. Why did we say yes to this gig? We should have never done it. You know, all this kind of stuff. And then it's fucking amazing. And I don't know why I do this to myself or torment myself in my head.
But also, I think you totally underestimate how, like, what a place like your band Busted had in all everyone's hearts when we were younger. And I think that we all have that like inner child within ourselves, so we look back at songs and love songs, you know, that we grew up with. And I'm not surprised like that's when the field gets shut down, or at Slam Dunk They Love You, or if you put out tickets tomorrow it would sell endless tickets, because everyone has that inner child. They go, fuck, I just love those guys.
And have you got that inner child, Jamie?
Yeah, I've got that inner child within
where
me.
Do you keep him?
I just keep him in your
basement.
But mate, I think you honestly do, because I think that everyone, you know, loves you guys, and also it just I think it's I was about to say rad, because I haven't used the word rad ever.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Fucking rad, man.
Yeah,
it's
man. Hey, bring it is.
It is.
Back.
It's rad.
It's rad that you can, you know, how many, what is it? Is it 15 years?
20 later? Years. 20 years in 2022. So it's wow. 18 years, yeah.
That's well, groovy.
18 years later, you can still sell tickets. You can still sell out arenas and stuff like that with the brand and the band. Like, that's insane. Like, no that one is, can yeah, do that.
Far out, man.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
we released an album in last February, and it was one of those things where, you know, we kind of made the record that we never made, right? So we kind of went into the studio and we're like, right, when we first started this band, we wanted to be this band, right? Well, like what I was talking about earlier on. And so we went in the studio and made our pop punk record, our like record with no holds. We didn't hold anything back. We just made the record that we always wanted to make.
How controversial were you? Was it really controversial? Is that what it was? You just made music that you wanted to make?
No, I mean, luckily, since we came back, we kind of signed deals and made it so that we can make every decision ourselves. We kind of learned from our mistakes in the past to make sure that we have control over everything we do. But then it was, the thing is that the record we made does not fit today. Like, it's a throwback record, really. It's not like, it's not the record that radio want to hear, you know, but it's a record that we wanted to make, and our fucking fan base loved it. And it just proves that, like, there's a time and a place in your life where you find something that you love and you'll love it forever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's just some things that we all have them that, like, they're these moments of our life, especially with music, where you find it and it encaptures a part of your life and you will have that forever. And when you listen to that music or you listen to a genre of or a style of song, it brings you back to a moment in your life with nostalgia. You know, that's what it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's, and I think as a band, you get scared about nostalgia because you don't want to become a nostalgic act. You know, you don't want to become a band that just relies on their old hits, and you always want to be new and fresh. But actually, that is a powerful fucking thing. If you can tap into nostalgia, it's really powerful.
But I think that's the power of music, right? It brings you right back to where you first listened to that song, and it sort of encapsulates all of the things that were happening to you at that time. It really is like it's like what feelings sound like, music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've recently been making techno. Making
wicked.
Sort of melodic techno,
and I love how you just repeated the word techno four times. I just that was
twice,
the best
actually. Okay. Jamie can't count apparently, but But and it's so like, you know, I made this one song recently and it was a beautiful sunny day and I was sort of like dancing whilst I was making it. I like techno because you can obviously that with those loops, you can just sort of play around and it's almost like painting a collage or, you know, making a collage, you know. But it really, like when I listen to it now, it reminds me of that day that I made it in that beautiful day, sunny day. I can hear the sun, great. You know.
Yeah, man. How brilliant.
I totally agree with you. I think people underestimate the, like, not the power of nostalgia, but how great nostalgia is. And I agree with you that no one wants to be known for.
Wants melancholy.
Everyone wants to be present, right? You want to be, you know, I want a new hit now. But actually, I totally agree with you. If this is, I think what you're saying is that playing on the melancholy and playing on that, like, that sort of part within you, I think that's wicked. I think, you know, the fact that, like, you know, if I look at my parents and stuff like that, the bands that they loved growing up, they still love them to bits, even though they haven't played music or played hits or whatever it is, they still freaking love it. I think there's massive things on that.
Yeah, man. Like, but there is, you know, it's kind of one of those words that is a dirty word in music, which is nostalgia.
But why? Like,
I think it's because, you know, I don't know, there's something about it which makes you feel sorry for, you know, like there's certain bands.
One-hit wonders.
Yeah, one-hit wonders and people that are doing it past their prime. You know, and there's something about that you're like, oh, you should maybe give it up.
Not naming names.
Not naming names. But there is certain things. And I feel it sometimes too. I'm like, boys, you should knock it on the head, you know, or whatever, you know. But really, what else are they going to do? They're a fucking band and they're musicians and that's what they do. And they're,
are you talking, you know, about the Rolling Stones?
No, I'm not. I mean, they still, you know, like, but there is certain other ones who I would say.
But this is the other thing which kind of
frustrates. The Spice Girls.
This is what also frustrates me, Matt, is that, okay, you wouldn't say to like a dentist or to an architect or to a lawyer, oh, you probably should pack it in now. You're probably a little bit old for this, aren't you?
Yeah.
But in the entertainment industry, for some reason, you get to a certain age and they're a bit like, you should probably, come on.
Well,
then
then you cross over into legendary status, right? So then there's a tipping point. There's a tipping point where you're no longer perceived as that nostalgic act. You're a legend.
Like, you know, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, like, and all these, and the Rolling Stones and these kind of bands that, like, you know, like, no one's gonna, you know, no one's gonna tell, I'm trying to think of anyone.
The Cheeky Girls.
Yeah, see, perfect example, you know, but no one's gonna tell them to give up, you know.
No. They're legends. They are musical legends.
Exactly. Matt, what you're saying is, you woke up one day and went, I'm now a legend.
You've got to hold out. You've got to hold out for that shit. You know, like, you know, like, you've got to keep going. You know, like I saw, I played a festival last year with Madness, and I watched them on stage, and I was like, they're fucking legends. You know, like, and I was so excited to see them. You know, I love that band, but I was like, not one part of me went, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to fucking give it a rest. Every part of me was like, I'm so fucking happy you're here. And it reminds me of a part of my childhood, which is a big part of my life, you know. And they've got legendary status, you know.
Another thing is, like, I think, you know, what it seems a lot of people, a lot of performers, they become, especially if they're still making music, they really love the music they're making now. So it's great that you guys still love the music you made back then. Like, you know, you sound like you're really passionate about that album that you made, that particular moment in time, which sort of captured a lot more than just an album for you.
I mean, I am. I don't know how other band members feel, you know, but there's certain songs that can make all of us roll our eyes that we have to put on a set list, you know, like, because we're just bored to fucking tears of playing them. But, you know, there's also,
Which ones?
I knew you were going to say that, you know, but there was a period in my life that it's different. The thing is that those songs can also change, right? They can mean different things to you at different times. Like, if you'd asked me even 4 years ago, if I liked playing the Year 3000, I would have a very different answer.
Mate, it's my favorite. It's my favorite.
You know, I fucking could not stand playing that song. Like, and I knew it was the fucking ace up our sleeve at every gig. Like, wherever we played in the world, they fucking knew that song. But I just didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy
really?
It anymore. I hated playing it. Now I love it again. Like, I absolutely love it, because, like, It brings something.
Comes in waves.
Yeah, it comes in waves. And I know that we have something which is going to excite people, like in a way that no other song.
Like a magic trick.
Yeah, no other song that we have has that power now. You know, like Year 3000 is our transcending powerful song. Like wherever we are in the world, whatever gig we're playing, you know, just like skip to Year 3000, you know, if it's not going well, you know, and we're going to fucking have a good
at
end to the
show. Slam Dunk,
you know?
Again, we should definitely kick off with Year 3000.
Yeah. Where you, it's our encore song. It's that end of the show song, you know, because nothing else ends a gig like it for us now. And we've got a way of playing it that fits our new way of playing, you know, like, so the thing is, I think what it is for us, right, is that there's certain songs, when you listen back to the recording, you're devastated. Because I know what that song is now, and I know what we could have done with it. And I listen back to the recording that we made when we were 17, and it doesn't live up to it, you know. But people don't know that. People don't give a fuck about that. People know the song that they love, and they love it for that reason. So, and also, they don't really notice what we've done to it now live to make it excite us. They don't give a shit. They just hear, I've been to the year, and they fucking lose their mind.
I love the idea of Matt, you on stage as well. And I reckon you would tear it up. You go, don't, you know, you'd play the beat, and we go, fucking what? Here it comes.
We've dropped that bit. That's the one bit we've dropped.
Oh, really?
If I have to hear that bit one more time, I will fucking die. Yeah. That's
the
one thing.
Straight away.
We've ripped that keyboard part. Never to be seen again. That will never be seen again. Now we start with a guitar riff when everyone's happy.
You don't understand
how long it took us to understand that that was the route to happiness within that song. The unhappiness came from that keyboard part. But now that's gone, we can enjoy and embrace that song.
France says you're going to steal it and make it on a loop.
I'm going to sample it and make it into a techno track.
I also love the fact that you hated it so much for so long. People are going, play 3000 in your head. You're going, fuck off. I don't want to play that part.
Exactly. If I had to stand backstage and hear do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
answer the question of the week.
All right. Wait, I have a question. What key is that year 3000 in?
I have no idea.
Oh, what? Oh, all right.
You're going to make a loop of it, aren't you? You actually.
Yeah, I get it. I get a sample.
Please
I'll send
do,
it to you, Matt.
Do,
I'll send it to
do.
You, Matt.
Please do.
All right. So, okay. So the question was what? Like, how many times bigger or smaller were wine glasses? Was a sort of standard glass of wine in the year 1700?
Yeah. What was the answer, Francis?
So, okay, you got to tell me your answers. So, Jamie, oh,
I said two times smaller.
Two times, Jamie.
And I said three times smaller.
Three times smaller. Well, they were, in fact, six times smaller.
No, get out of town!
Six times smaller.
Oh, wicked!
Yeah. And in the year 3000, guess how many times bigger
they're
going to
be swimming pools.
They're going to be swimming pools.
Hey, Matt, listen.
Exactly. That's a bonus point.
We've taken up
you,
far too Matt. Much of your time, so we're not going to read your diaries today. But listen, you have a podcast as well. You have a podcast. We have it with Matt Richardson, don't you?
I do. The lovely Matt Richardson. We started it.
Oh, I love Matt Richardson.
Before lockdown. Yep, he's fucking brilliant. And we've been meaning to do it for years. We've been talking about doing it and we never got around to it. And then we started it and then we had about four and then lockdown happened. But then we've been doing them like this
on the computer.
And
to
it's
do
been
that,
great.
Right?
It's been great. It's also like, to be honest, everything I do needs a live audience in front of it. So
yeah.
I have nothing in my fucking diary for the time being. So podcasting is really helping me right now.
We feel you.
Yeah, it's cool.
Brothers in arms.
It's cool when no one's watching. We got some really like awesome people. You know, we just had like this week was Tom Fletcher. My wife is on it. Got Russell Kane. We got some really, really good, interesting people.
And we can find it on iTunes, right?
You can find out on anywhere you get your podcasts, it will be.
All good podcast platforms.
Yes. Hey, Matt, listen, honestly, buddy.
We'd love to have you two mate, on as well if you want to come on.
I've been chained to Matt and I would love it.
It's about guilty pleasures, basically. So you kind of confess the things that you're into that you get up to when no one's watching that you make.
Jamie doesn't want to incriminate himself.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Francis is just going to call you out on everything. He's going to write yours for you. Yeah. But it's really fun. It's lighthearted. It's silly. It's not serious. It's just a right laugh. It's really good. And we have the best.
Mate, listen, we would absolutely love to come on. Without a doubt. Listen, buddy, honestly, knowing that I had you on the podcast today, I was super excited. You're a legend already. And I appreciate that you spent the time with us today, honestly.
No,
I really appreciate
it.
Listen, also, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational. That's over to you.
Over to you, Matt.
This is me. Matt. Oh, my God. holy shit. Something inspirational. I never meant to do any of this.
sometimes success happens by accident.
Sometimes shit just happens. You know, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, it's like people ask me about that. Like I don't really see myself in that kind of way as like successful or whatever. You know, so it's kind of very hard to kind of say. You know, but it's no one knows how to do anything until they do it.
Totally.
I mean, this is one thing that I've learned like recently. It's like no one knows how to do anything like until they start doing it. And if you do it and you give it your fucking all, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah, it's true.
I love that. Matt Willis, thank you so much, buddy. I really appreciate it. That was epic.
Guys, thanks very much.
You.
It was really cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.